You're listening to A Circle Day Show on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is a pre-recording of an interview with Nawal El Sadawi, who came to the UK in November for a speaking tour in the UK. This is an interview conducted at Houseman Bookshop. I am here with Nawal El Sadawi. She's an extraordinary woman, author, medical doctor, and campaigner against FGM. For 45 years, she's been an important voice for Egyptian feminism. At 83 years old, she's still going strong. I'll ask you the first question.
I am a novelist.
A novelist, yes.
Did you say?
Author.
Author?
Yes, yeah. Right, but yeah, same thing.
It includes.
Tell me about your early life.
My early life.
And your experience you had as a girl.
My experience as a girl.
Yes. And that helped you shape your world view.
I was a very naughty child. Very naughty.
Good.
In school, at home. And this was not good for a girl. So teachers were angry with me and said that God will burn me in hell. And I was 7 years, seven and a half. And I went home crying and I told my mother, I'm going to be burned in hell, in fire. My mother said, what fire? I told her, I don't know. The teachers say I will be burnt in fire after I die. So my mother laughed and she told me there is no hell. So in fact, my mother liberated me since I was a little girl from the fear of hell. And this helped me a great deal to be what I am. Because children, and especially girls, boys and girls, but especially girls, their mind is ruined by fear of hell and fear of God, and then fear of punishment by the school. But I was liberated from that because of my mother. All children are born creative. All children, girls and boys from all classes, if they are born healthy, they are born creative, intelligent, and they ask very witty questions, very intelligent questions. And they are very sensitive to paradoxes and contradictions. So in fact, my childhood shaped what I am now. Even I am still writing from my childhood. My childhood was very rich, like all children. All children who escape fear, their childhood is very rich and it's unending. The inspiration from childhood to me is unending. And it shapes the whole philosophy of the world, even religion. For instance, God. God to me is not a book, as my grandmother told me, my peasant grandmother told me. God is not a book, because she was illiterate. She didn't read the Quran. She said, God is not the Quran. God is not a book. God does not come out of the printing machine. God is a symbol of justice and freedom and love and equality. This shaped my philosophy up till now. And you cannot separate between religion and politics and economics and medicine. I graduated as a medical doctor and I had to read history and philosophy. So I taught myself, and I was also inspired by my grandmother and mother and father. I was lucky to have the family, though they were limited, of course, you know, but they were much, much liberal than many families.
Mm. FGM is a big cultural practice here in the UK. Mm. Where do you think this custom comes from, and how have you managed to fight against it?
Well, you know, FGM and MGM, male genital mutilation, I don't separate between the two. You know, I usually link everything to everything. I link medicine, physical medicine, the body to the mind to the spirit. I'm a psychiatrist, but I dissected the body. You cannot separate between medicine and psychiatry, between the spirit or the mind or the body. and FGM, and is not separate from MGM, and both came in history from slavery. It's a political economic habit, slave habit. And then it was reflected in societies. Male genital mutilation was mentioned in the Old Testament only. It's not mentioned in the New Testament or the Quran or anything. Only the Old Testament, the Torah, that mentioned male genital, male circumcision. And that's why the Jewish people do it. But they stopped now. But up till now, most of the men in all over the world, they are circumcised up till now. And in Egypt, in all our countries. And this should be stopped. But female genital mutilation is more severe. And I've been fighting this since I graduated from the medical college and started to be aware of the dangers of cutting children, boys and girls. So I started to fight as a doctor because I started to understand the dangers of cutting children.
Yes. And how unnecessary it is as well. It's not needed, is it?
It is dangerous. Mm. It's a crime. It is a crime against children, boys and girls.
Mm, absolutely. Mm. How have you been treated because of your politics? Mostly, have you been received negatively or positively?
It depends. Of course, in a capitalist, patriarchal religious system, I am hated. They hate me, the governments. For instance, in the U.S., I am censored in the United States by the CNN and by the New York Times. I am censored in U.K. by the Financial Times. They asked me to write an article. I wrote it, and they censored it. So I sent it to The Guardian, and they published it. This was just 2 weeks ago. So you see censorship everywhere, and there is hostility against me from the governments, capitalist, patriarchal, religious governments, whether Christian fundamentalism in the U.S. or Islamic fundamentalism in different countries. Of course, they are very hostile to what I write. But the people, they love my work. My books are translated to more than 40 languages all over the world. Young people in Egypt now, they started to form what they call Nawal El-Sadawi Forum. And they come in hundreds, and they read my work. And here, wherever I travel, you know, these events here in London, it was all sold out. And many hundreds came and read my work. So it became a phenomenon now that I am now young, especially young people, are very, very enthusiastic about my work. Men and women.
We're at Houseman Bookshop now. Mm. People are going to be turned away because it's full up already.
You see? it was like that everywhere in UK.
Fantastic. Mm. What do you think of the events of the Arab Spring?
Arab Spring, revolution.
Yeah.
What do you think? I think we started very well, but our revolution was aborted by the neo-colonial powers in US and Europe. And we kicked the Muslim brothers, and the army helped us, CC, and the army helped us. But I am wondering why the UK governments and US governments and the right and wing groups, they hate CC, and they say he's a dictator. And there was a coup d'etat, a military coup in Egypt. This is a big lie. It was a revolution of the people, and we kicked the Muslim brothers because we are against Islamic State or any religious state. I am against a Jewish state in Israel. So, but here people is always asking, what about Sisi? You know, this is the neo-colonial power because they support the Muslim brothers. UK government here and US government, they support the Muslim brothers, and they were hoping to divide the Egyptian army, divide and rule. But Sisi is strong, and we are backing the army. Now, the army is unifying Egypt. because they want us to be like Syria, to divide the army, you see? So that's why they are very, very hostile to Sisi.
What role has colonialism played in Egypt?
Colonialism?
And, yeah, yeah.
Crimes. British colonialism. They did a lot of crimes in Egypt. They stole our cotton, our money. They enslaved the people. They brainwashed the people. British colonialism and then American neo-colonialism. We are exploited by colonialism physically, economically. And they encourage Islamic groups to divide the country. Since the British colonialism in 1882, British colonialism is expert in dividing the countries by religion. Up till now, usually I say Bin Laden and George Bush are twins. And I say Obama and Daesh, what they call ISIS. Obama and Daesh, I don't call it ISIS, they are twins. They encourage those people to divide us.
What do you think the future holds for women in Egypt, and what are your hopes?
Hope is power, and we are going forward. Of course, the external and internal powers, reactionary external and internal powers, they want to pull us back. But we are going forward. The people are going forward. Women are fighting. So I am very optimistic.
Okay. And last question. Who are some of the women who have inspired you in
my your grandmother, life? My peasant grandmother, my mother, my father. I don't separate between men and women. And many, many people. Oh, many. I cannot count.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Noelle Al-Sadawi, because you're here for her talk. So she's a doctor, specifically of psychiatry, an author, a political dissident, a feminist, an activist. We'll talk about how all those things interlink in a little bit. Mm. She's also got the best sense of humour ever, as I found out at lunch the other day. And Noelle has written over 50 books. I think, is it 56?
56.
56 books. Notably, Women and Sex in 1972, which...
You are starting... By time now, I started writing early.
In the 50s?
During the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
Okay.
So you are starting my writing from the 70s?
Well, Women and Sex... Women and Sex is quite notable because it lost you your job as a doctor.
I lost my job in 72.
Shall we start? Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How did you... What inspired you to start writing Women and Sex, your work as a doctor, and why did you lose your
job?
But
this is not my first book, Women and Sex. I would like to say because there are a lot of misinformation. You know, the problem is that... Usually, I try to correct about my life, about my writing, about my career, about everything. The media, you know, is propagating. Usually, wherever I am in UK or the US or the West generally, I don't call it West and East, but anyway, people say Noelle Al-Sadawi. She lost her job in 72. She wrote about female genital mutilation. So I am known about, they know me through female genital mutilation. And they ask me about that as if I have not written anything except about female genital mutilation. So I tried to correct, and I started writing when I was very young. When I was a child, I had a diary under my pillow when I was 6, 7, 8 years. And my first book I wrote when I was 13 years of age in high school. And it's called Memoir of a Child Called Sohail. I didn't try to write about myself. I didn't say Memoir of a Child Called Noelle. I was hiding under another name. Because at that time, I couldn't write. I was a little bit afraid to speak my mind. So I used another name, Sohail. And this book will come by Macmillan next year. Yes. But it was
when you were 13.
It was published in Arabic, but it will come for English after how many years? Since 1944. I wrote it in 1944, and it will come in English in 2016. So how many years passed?
Many.
Many years.
Yes.
A lifetime.
And sometimes when you're republished in English translation from the Arabic, they change the name of your book. So,
yes.
For example,
The Hidden Face of Eve.
Yeah, do you want to tell us?
Yes. The Hidden Face of Eve, in Arabic called The Naked Face of Women.
Arab Women.
Yes, of Arab Women. وجه المرأة العربية. الوجه العاري للمرأة العربية. The Naked Face of Woman in the Arab world, in the Arab region. And in English, it became The Hidden Face.
Why was that?
I don't know. Maybe it sounded in English more sensational. Maybe. Usually they put the on the cover the face of a veiled woman. As if the veil is the identity of us, of women writing from the Arab world or from Egypt. So our identity is a woman that is veiled. And that we should write about sex, separate from politics. And we should write about female genital mutilation. And usually, whenever I'm interviewed by the media, even today, program about creativity and writing, art, and she told me, oh, yes, you were personally circumcised. Can you tell us about your personal experience? Sensational. They want me to speak about my personal circumcision. They are not interested. Though I never, never separated between female genital mutilation and politics and economics.
Yeah.
And capitalism and religions, but they separate and they want to separate. I was interviewed last night or two nights before, and you know what happened? Media can change what you say by montage. So I was supposed to speak for 10 minutes, they cut it to 4 minutes. And they cut the political, the most important part of my talk, the link between the political and the economic and the sexual and the religious, they cut it. Also, there is a lot of deception by the media because the lady who interviewed me was very much against Sisi, against the army, against Sisi, you know all of you, Sisi, the head of the army in Egypt. And she said, he's a dictator, and you know, there was a coup d'etat. What happened in Egypt was a military coup. It was not a revolution. She's speaking about the June 2013. So I told her, no, it was a revolution. There were more than 30 million people in the streets in June 2013. It was not a military coup at all. And we, the people, asked the military to come and support us and help us to get rid of the Muslim brothers. And the army came and they really supported to get, we kicked Morsi and the Muslim brothers from the government. And she was not convinced. And then she told me, she was a bit rude. She told me, are you afraid to criticize Sisi? You know, she didn't know my history. She didn't know that I challenged Nasser, Sadat, Mubarak, and I went to prison, exiled my name on the death list for years. I was never afraid of anybody. And then she come and tell me, are you afraid of Sisi? So I said, no, I criticize Sisi sometimes in my articles. So she cut all that, and she started the interview by saying, I criticize Sisi. When you listen to it, you think that I'm against Sisi. So completely the opposite of the message that I wanted to convey. It's damaging to my reputation because I am not against Sisi or the army. I am not against them. In fact, the army of Egypt is unifying Egypt now. Neo-colonial, why the media in UK and in Europe and in the United States are against Sisi? Why? Why they insist that the revolution in Egypt was a military coup and is not a revolution? Why? You see why? Because Sisi, not Sisi as a person, but the army, the Egyptian army, is supporting the people and trying to unify Egypt so we will not be fragmented as happened in Syria. American neocolonial powers with British neocolonial powers, with the European Union colonial power, they want Egypt to be fragmented, like Syria, like Iraq, like Yemen, divide and rule. And they are not happy with the army. I am not for the military. I am against military rule. I am against religious state. I am against all that. But at this time, the army is playing a very positive role in Egypt, unifying Egypt so that the army will not be divided as happened in Syria and in Iraq and in Yemen. I explained that to her, and she cut that part. Of course, I faced a lot of trouble in my country during Sadat, Mubarak, and Morsi, and all that. And I am still facing some problems because I still write my brain, what's in my mind. But I face more problems in the West, in the so-called West, because of the capitalist media. And that's why I'm saying that.
And I think that takes us back to the kind of the question of censorship. You said to me the other day that you're happy because you're an honest person. You want to talk about writing because foremost you're a writer.
Okay.
Do you want to talk a little bit about how being honest in your writing has made you happy and how that's empowered you and other people?
Since I was a childhood, I felt there is something very wrong in the world around me. In the family, in school, in the street, with God. I had to quarrel with God all the time because they told me it is God who really discriminate between me and my brother. So I was unhappy that because God should be fair. How God can be very unjust to me just because he created me a girl? So I felt there is something wrong. In religion, in politics, in school, everywhere I go, I felt there is something wrong, injustice. And I think children, all children are like that, girls and boys. Because all children are born, when they are healthy, they are born with very good brains. They are born creative. Creativity is not something that is sent by heaven to some genius people. No. Creativity is a human character. It's a human characteristic. And all children are born creative. And they want to do something. They want to paint, to write, to dance. In fact, my dream was to be a dancer. I love dancing. I still love dancing. Because dancing, like music, It's a very fine art because it combines the body and the mind. You know, the dancer dances with her or his body and mind and spirit together. Dancing and music unify the fragmented human being. Because since slavery, we became fragmented. The body, the mind, the spirit. And there is always conflict between what we call spirit and mind and body. So to me, writing as a child, I started writing as a whole. I started writing as a whole. And creativity means that you become a whole. You undo the fragmentation of yourself. So your body, your mind, your heart, everything is one. That's creativity. And it happens in childhood. And that's why you write. I think most of you had a childhood diary below your pillow. Like I did when I was 7 or 8, I had a diary to write my, what I think about what's around me. I think the issue of women is very complex in the West and in the East. Here in UK, you are still fighting, I read, how women demonstrated in front of the parliament demanding equal pay. You read about that. Here, you are still fighting for equal pay, that women should have salaries equal to men. So there is always women push. And may, I saw the film Suffragette yesterday. It reminded me of Egypt. The struggle is great, great. Because why? Women cannot be liberated really in a capitalist, patriarchal, religious system, whether Christian, Jewish, Islamic, or anything. Women, there is no democracy, real democracy, in a capitalist, patriarchal, religious system. And we still live in a ferocious, harsh, capitalist, patriarchal system. And in fact, capitalism is becoming more harsh. The gap between the poor and the rich is becoming more. And with also the gap between men and women is becoming more, because the oppression of women go hand in hand with the oppression of the poor and the working class. We cannot separate between patriarchy and capitalism and feudalism and religion. That's why the progress is very slow. And also, it is superficial. Usually, I say veiling and nakedness are two faces of the same coin. Women who are naked in the West and they have these hot pants, they show their thighs or show their breasts. This is not liberation, to be a sex object. So veiling and nakedness are two faces of the same coin. And women are considered bodies, either to be veiled under religious slogans, or to be naked for capitalism and the profit of the free market, of the so-called free market.
Have you ever had fear? Have you ever felt fear or afraid to speak your mind?
Of course, when I was younger, I got rid now of my fear. In fact, when they put my name on the death list, I lost fear of death. You know, it's paradox. It's paradox. The more you approach death, the more you are not afraid of death. We are afraid of death because we don't know it. We are afraid of the unknown. I was very much afraid of prison. But then when I went to prison, I lost my fear, you see? So we are really afraid of the unknown. And we are brought up since childhood to be afraid of death, like hell. We are afraid of fire hell. We are afraid of death. We are afraid of God. We are afraid of the government. So our brain is ruined by fear. And I lost my fear because I was risking my life. When you risk, you gain. So when you risk your life, you lose your fear. It's so simple.
To listen to the entire recording, go to www.thecircledday.com. You've been listening to The Circle Day Show on Resonance 104.4 FM. Till next week, turn on, tune in and kick off.